Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Monday, February 13th, 2023. And today, early voting has started in the city of Chicago, and the ward-based early voting starts today on Monday and will continue through February 28th. The closest early voting sites can be found on the website. And as a reminder, early voting at the board supersite at 191 North Clark Street and board offices, which include 69 West Washington Street, 6th floor, for the February 28, 2023 municipal election started on Thursday, January 26, and those will remain open through Election Day. All 50 ward early voting sites and the board supersite will be open as vote centers on Election Day. For more information about voting, including potential changes to your Election Day polling location or to request a vote by mail packet, please visit www.chicagoelections.gov. There are 9 candidates currently running for mayor of the city of Chicago. And there will be another mayoral forum this evening, giving people an opportunity one more time to hear from the candidates and to decide, if they like what they hear, to go ahead and vote. This forum, sponsored by BLC, CUL, NABJ, Vaughn TV, and WVON. These are the hosts of the Chicago Mayoral Forum tonight. And this Chicago Mayoral Candidate Forum will focus on issues from the Black community's perspective. Confirmed candidates include Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Jesus Chuy Garcia, Paul Vallis, Willie Wilson, Brandon Johnson, Jamal Green, Sophia King, Cam Buckner, and Roderick Sawyer. Local media outlets include NBC5 anchor Marion Brooks and WVON's daytime personality Matt McGill will moderate the forum, to be held again Monday, February 13th, tonight, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at NBC5's television headquarters. The forum will be live streamed on multiple platforms by NBC TV on Roku, which is channel 129, Vaughn TV on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Samsung TV Plus, and channel 105, Peacock on the NBC Chicago app and NBCChicago.com, and broadcast on WVON Radio AM 1690. For more information, you can contact Winona Redmond at 708-769-1768 or email Winona, that's W-Y-N-O-N-A at W-Y-N-W-I-N.com. And again, this is, in fact, the most recent mayoral candidate forum that will address issues that have a specific concern. And we look for questions regarding the economy, public safety, citizen relationships, education, housing, and other issues that have been of great concern. And it's an opportunity for those who are in the Chicagoland area and planning to elect new leadership or reelect the same leadership to once again hear the differing points of view. Another announcement today for those who are seeking business opportunities. Black Enterprise is announcing that every region in the world has a unique spice cabinet, but some are much better known than others. Abena Foley, the Ghanaian founder of Pox Spices, that's P-O-K-S Spices, decided to shine a light on one of the cuisines less known outside of its borders, the dynamic, rich flavors of West Africa. Recognizing that the culinary contributions of her native Ghana has gone largely unrecognized, Foley founded her company, Pox Spices, as a homage to her culture, with the help of Bank of America's Institute for Women's Entrepreneurship at Cornell. Foley learned how to better promote her business and share her story. Foley's education through this program set her and her business up for success, and she went on to win grants and awards. Now, Ms. Foley spends her days creating bold flavors and educating others on West African cuisine while advocating for others working toward achieving their dreams. And more in business news. From videos to books and customizable images and even cloned voice recordings, creators can now produce an infinite amount of content in seconds with the latest generative AI technology. The next step? It's data-driven synthetic media, created in near real time and surfaced in place of traditional media with hyper-personalized ads created and delivered to you within seconds. This is how synthetic media is completely changing all media. It's already impacting the creative process for artists and non-artists. So what will the studio of the future look like? There will be powerful visual effects remotely and sustainably in post-production studios. And this is what's next for AI, artificial intelligence, content, coding, and Western civilization. If you think AI was impressive last year, wait till you see what's coming, including industry-transforming breakthroughs in music composition, video animation, writing code, and translation. You can go to amplify.nabshow.com for more information. There are a number of issues surrounding having good credit, one of them being the ability to purchase a home. When was the last time you checked your credit score? You can get in touch with Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and discover what is being recorded and spread about your credit history. You deserve to know and have a right to know what credit bureaus are reporting regarding the debts that you owe and the debts you have paid. The New York Times reports this breaking news that a Georgia judge will release parts of a report by a grand jury investigating election interference by Donald Trump and his allies. And making his ruling, the judge included concerns that a special grand jury raised regarding witnesses lying under oath. This allegation continues to be a source of investigation and Donald Trump continues to lay claims that what we are listening to is fake news. Today is another day for the Chicago Auto Show, and there have been many who have sought to link the current developments in the auto industry with the concerns for the ecology. On Air reported some of the new ideas being presented by today's automakers and some of the benefits to those who choose to purchase what's known as EVs, electric vehicles that are less smog producing and might be even best for the economy. So let's take a look at some of the statements made during the kickoff of the Chicago Auto Show, and also what might be in the works for the upcoming transforming abilities of the auto industry when it comes to school buses. How will the school buses to electric energy affect children, affect the air quality on the bus, and even affect those who are struggling with issues such as asthma and other respiratory illnesses? Is it possible that those who are struggling with asthma have been affected by the pollution on the buses to which they ride to school every day? That is something to be considered, and definitely something that those who are advocating for a change in the atmosphere and the manufacturing are pushing for through legislation. And let's again hear a bit of this conversation in which those at the Chicago Auto Show have shared information and sought to enlighten audiences as to what may be in the works in the future of the auto industry, an opportunity for people to get involved and to make a difference in expressing their concerns to their elected officials. Sarah Mudd joined a discussion on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show and shared her work in seeking to encourage those who are part of the auto manufacturing industry to make some changes, to make some adjustments, and to possibly do some technological adjustments when it comes to designing the cars that are going to affect our children's future. Are we ready to perhaps eliminate motor that run off of gasoline, and how will that impact not just the auto industry, global trade, issues having to do with petroleum-rich nations? How will it affect those economies that have grown wealthy as a result of automobiles and their great use of oil, which creates a specific political position for nations who are trading in oil and are making a difference in the oil prices and the global economy in general. So how do we make a determination as to which system is better?
The minor thing, so minor issue.
When we do understand that the impact of the auto industry and its decisions to create hybrids or cars that run on electricity has an impact on the global politics. So Sandra Mudd joins us and we share this discussion. Consider some of the issues raised as a result of the decisions of automakers.
Well, our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
And we are back this morning. I have some special guests this morning. I'm so excited. We've got Susan Mudd with us. Let me bring Susan's beautiful face on. Hi, Susan. Welcome to Health and Wellbeing with Viata. And we've also got my sisters of the mic, Naima Latif and Zelda Robinson of Monday Morning Mindful. Welcome, ladies. How's it going? I see we're at the auto show.
Yes, we are. We are. It is going great. And I'm so excited. We met some people yesterday from this wonderful organization that has put on trying to keep some of the smogs from appearing on our in our streets, especially through buses, school buses, the Environmental Law and Policy Center. And so our guest today is going to take us, tell us a little more about that. You know, you don't really think about it, even though you drive behind these buses and you need up the big, heavy black smog. But if you're a child and you have asthma, that could be a death sentence.
And lots,
you know, and lots of children have asthma. So electric vehicles are really helping with the environment, and we want people to be more conscious of that, because all of us, if we're breathing smog, it's making us sicker and sicker.
I was listening to the show yesterday while you were in. Is the lady here today?
No, she got to talk more about that. I spoke with Judith Neen and Robert Kelter of the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and they were explaining the importance of, you know, all the things, legislation and everything else, to really make consumers aware of how this is affecting all of us.
Yeah, we really need to know that.
So did you want to introduce Susan? Susan is here with us.
Yes. Well, first, Susan Mudd is with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. She has been specifically involved in the fight to, or I said, I'm going to use a negative word, the work in bring raise awareness about the importance of converting buses to electric vehicles so that we can improve our environment and we can all be healthier. And, you know, ultimately, it'll save the earth as we are more aware of not polluting and helping our breathing. So welcome, Susan Mudd. We thank you so much for joining us today on Health and Wellbeing with Diana on the Female Solution.
And simulcasting on the Higher Learning Network TV show, HLN TV show.
Yes, and we will certainly be continuing after this show simulcast on HLN TV show. Yes, go right ahead.
Well, good morning, ladies, and thanks for having me join you. I know that you at the auto show are seeing all sorts of brand new electric cars.
Yes.
And my colleagues were able to be there yesterday, and we're really pleased to have met you there in person. The auto show is about autos, but as we know, the newest trend, and it's a good one, is for autos to be electric. And what you don't see at the auto show, but it's also happening, is the ability to purchase other electric types of vehicles and even electric trucks. And this is important for just the reason that you alluded to. Outside our streets, we see various vehicles and equipment belching out black diesel smoke. That diesel smoke is bad for our lungs. It's bad whether you're a child, and that can bring on an asthma attack. It also impedes children's lung development, but it's also bad for the rest of us who are older than children. For instance, those who have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, known as COPD, or other heart or respiratory diseases, these people are, which is many of us, are especially sensitive and affected by air pollution. But frankly, air pollution coming out of diesel equipment and vehicles is bad for everybody. So we've been part of efforts here in Illinois and across the nation, frankly, to bring about changes in the use of diesel equipment and vehicles. And specifically with school buses, what parent wants to see their kid get on and off a bus that's belching black smoke, knowing that those fumes are recirculated within the bus? So, for instance, a child riding in a school bus is exposed to somewhere between 4 and 12 times as much pollution as a child riding in a car ahead of that bus. And this is no longer necessary. Every school bus manufacturer now has electric models. The struggle right now is that those buses are, frankly, quite a bit more expensive. So one of the things we've been doing at the Environmental Law and Policy Center is to find resources to help school districts make the transition away from diesel to electric. So here in Illinois, for instance, you may remember the VW scandal, where VW sold over 600,000 cars that knowingly violated the Clean Air Act. We were able to work with others to get some of the money that Illinois got from that settlement to start with electric. So there are now quite a few, not very many, but quite a few electric school buses in Illinois and more coming. Even more important, we've been part with others again across the country in getting federal funds to help the transition to electric school buses across the nation. Thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law, there's now a $5 billion program to help with getting electric school buses under a so-called clean school bus program. And last summer, 123 electric school buses were awarded to school districts in Illinois. So we've got a long way to go because there's over 20,000 school buses driving kids to and from school in Illinois only every day. And nationwide, it's almost 500,000 school buses. So we've got a long way to go, but we're starting, and there's good things coming.
Wow.
Because I have a friend who owns a bus company, a school bus company. How do they apply for those funds if they want to try to convert their buses? Or you know, I don't know if that's manufacturing new buses. Or is it possible to convert the existing buses to electric, you know?
Really good question, Zelda. First of all,
I'm not about this name. This is Zelda. I'm Naima.
Oh, I'm so Naima. I apologize.
That's what I was saying.
And is there a lottery, like, you know, so many things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to win the lottery in order to get the access to the funds that have been bought.
Not the Illinois lottery, but the bus.
So in the first,
right.
In the first round of US EPA Clean School Bus Program, it was a lottery, and school districts were prioritized according to the law by, and about half the school districts in the U.S. got a priority status, which meant they were like first in line for the lottery. But here's the thing. Even with that program, which, as I mentioned, got $5 billion, the first round of the money was supposed to be $500 million. That was going to be in this first lottery last summer. But the electric school buses are so popular, even though there aren't that many of them yet, that the applications that came in were for $4 billion.
Wow.
So many school districts want to try and start their conversions. So we definitely need to get more money for these. And there are other ways that there can be support. Now, let me go back to your question about converting. I didn't mean to ignore that.
Okay.
There are some companies now, one of them being a company actually in Illinois called Midwest Transit, which has a contract with a company called SEA, like the C, SEA Electric, to do what are called repowers. There they would take out the engine and put in a new electric.
Wow.
And that should save money. Those aren't yet eligible for the federal funds because EPA hasn't certified them all. But that we hope that will emerge in the future.
Possibly with a car though, to convert a regular car to electric.
Oh, I'm not an expert on cars. We should go back to my colleague on that one. I don't want to give out any bad info.
But now
I know that there are mechanisms, but I don't know, so I don't want to speak beyond what I know.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people are they're looking at electric cars is something they probably can't afford because it's too expensive. But I think it's too expensive to have your lungs collapse when you're 60 years old because you've been breathing smog all your life. So, you know, one of the things that, especially on the auto show, we've really been looking forward to how we can change things for the next generation of children so that we can be more health conscious and not have them go through all these illnesses. Is there a way to present, I guess, statistics in terms of, you know, brain health and education and smog, you know, maybe are there studies on children who have been driving in these, you know, smog producing buses and children who have not and seeing the difference in their development, their behavior even, you know?
Good, really good question. So electric school buses haven't been in service long enough yet to have comparative studies. But there are studies that were done on children riding diesel school buses. There's a study that was done, for instance, by the University of Michigan Public Health, and they looked at the lungs and the lung development and the asthma, et cetera, of kids. They used the Seattle bus system, which was like any others at the time when they did it.
And that is Susan Mudd, who is, again, working with the auto industry to increase EVs, electric vehicles, on our buses. I'm Naima Latif, and you've been listening to On Air Daily News, and we've got a call from a listener before we go. Area code 314-677. You have tuned in to On Air Daily News. Give us your name and your comment before we go off the air.
This is Bianchi. You know, down in Louisiana and some other states, they're using natural gas to fuel school buses, delivery trucks, public buses. They're not going electric. You know
natural
who has
gas.
The...
Wow.
Yes, natural gas. I drove natural gas vehicles back in the 90s when I was out in L.A. I rented one. It worked pretty good. Matter of fact, after I drove it all weekend and went to fill it up, it only cost like $6, $7 to fill it back up, the tank up, before I took it back to the rental place.
So now what's the difference between natural gas and regular gas? What's the difference?
Natural gas is like what runs your stove, like you operate your stove.
Ah. Oh, okay. Well, now that's something to look into. Is it smog? Are there any benefits to the air quality or the ecology using natural gas that you're aware of?
Natural gas is a natural product. And also, it don't kill jobs. It don't kill people's jobs who's in these industries. For one thing, you know who holds the lion's share of the production of the lithium batteries they use for automobiles? It's ExxonMobil.
Who's that? And where are they? Where are most of their employees? Where are you? Where Exxon employs
ExxonMobil,
most of their staff?
ExxonMobil is one of the largest oil producers in the world.
Yes, yes, they are.
They're
I'm not
stationed
aware
in Texas.
Texas. I thought it was Texas. So one could then argue that these are American jobs they're providing. However,
I think Exxon's revenue is large in some countries. So they provide thousands of jobs. I have members in the oil and gas industry. My grandson is a petroleum engineer. He works for Exxon. So, and here's another point. That those gas and oil sources, you know, that's being produced in the ground is being emitted anyway. You know, you have volcanoes that's forming on the ocean bed that's spewing their gases up through the waters and coming up into the atmosphere. So if you don't relieve that pressure, it's going to build up. And then you're going to have a heck of an explosion. I mean, you might have an explosion similar to one that killed the dinosaurs. So it's a balance
well,
that nature does.
Well, that's one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the arguments for converting to electric vehicles, because everything that is using gas, you know, just the process of obtaining the gas, you could create explosive situations. And almost every fossil fuel that's been used, whether it's coal or anything of that nature, again, you're talking about something that is not sustainable, as it said. Over time, it depletes. So we have to create something that is not depletable.
Well, petroleum is a natural... Petroleum is produced naturally at the mantle of the earth. And we have enough petroleum that's being produced the last about 500 to 700 years. But the thing it emits itself naturally out of the ground, out of the ocean bed, out of the earth, if you don't do anything to it. Now, if you don't help relieve the pressure is going to build up. And it's going to have a big eruption. So all these things happen to at a balance. You know, another thing, too, this whole idea about climate change, which is really nothing more than weather change, the Tropic of Cancer that's above the equator in the ocean beds, you know, and you also have the Tropic of Capricorn. The Tropic of Cancer is moving north, you know, inches at a time because of the precession of the earth. where the waters in the ocean at the top of the Cancer is warm. So if they move north, quite naturally, if they go up into the areas where there is ice, it's going to melt. Then at some period of time, the precession will start back the other way. These are natural occurrences. You can't stop that. But anyway, I'm sure you learned that when you were in school.
Yes, yes. And even though you mentioned petroleum, we have enough petroleum to last 400 or 500 years, that still is a finite number. And somebody will be around in 500 years. So do we really want to deplete anything just because we don't perceive that in our time it's going to be gone? So I think
the burning of petroleum produces carbon dioxide. You know what uses carbon dioxide, don't you?
Well,
your plants.
The trees. The plants, yes, the plants.
Your plants, you got to grow.
Carbon dioxide.
Right? Yeah, what should be an effort is to replant the trees and vegetations in areas of the world, large swaths like down in the Amazon and also in the Sahara Desert there in Africa, as it used to be.
Well, that is a more intelligent plan to put more vegetation where it's been depleted, because we're going to always need to replenish our oxygen supply. So that would be the smart thing to do.
Well, yes, that would be the smart thing to do, to replace those trees that's being cut down. For every tree you cut down, you should plant at least 10. That way you would assure that those oxygen producers will always be plentiful. Well, no, people are going to put industry in. Your electric bill is going to be doubling or more. You're going to have electricians. Mm-hmm. You can't plug those things into a wall socket. You have to have a whole new service put in, which costs thousands of dollars. But anyway, people learn the hard way. Thus be it.
Well, that's what learning is about. Well, thank you for calling in and weighing in on this topic. And we're going to be reporting on some of those organizations that actually are seeking to plant trees, replenish our air supply, and even create new ways that solar power might be harnessed in order to power our vehicles. Can we create an entirely ecologically friendly system where everything is recycled, nothing is wasted, there is no pollution, there is no damage to the balance in nature, and we're able to travel and transport things in a rapid manner? That really is the impetus behind the travel industry. How do we move from place to place in a more rapid manner than we were when we were traveling on foot or on horseback? And if we're going to use vehicles that are powered by another energy source, can we create an energy source that is ecologically friendly to the environment? There have been people who have worked with hydropower, wind power, solar power, and many other sources of energy that are not in conflict with the environment. So the Chicago Auto Show is still going on. If you are in and around the Chicagoland area, the Chicago Auto Show will be continuing until February 20th, and it's open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 2301 South King Drive in Chicago. And there are many displays that give you an idea of what is available. The auto industry has been a major employer of many people just because it includes so many aspects of our economy, everything from the manufacturing of autos to the financing of autos to the distribution and dealership of autos. So this is an industry that can transform the economy of anywhere an auto manufacturing plant or an auto dealership exists. Now can we make the auto industry ecologically friendly by encouraging the increased manufacturing at an affordable cost of hybrids, those autos running on both gas and electricity, and EVs, those electric vehicles that are running solely on electric power. Is this the wave of the future or even the now? And will we be able to see a change in our air quality? For more interviews from the Chicago Auto Show, go to onaireverywhere.com and listen to those who are working to ensure that tomorrow's autos help keep our air quality cleaner. I'm Naima Latif. You've been listening to On Air Daily News. Join us again tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. Until that time, enjoy the rest of your day.